Grandpa, what was a typical school day like?
Well, I'll take you back 57 years. I worked on a farm for Mr. and Mrs. Burton Clark. And what they hired me for was to get up in the morning and do the chores in the morning, take care of the animals at noon and at night. And I also had to work Saturday at the farm and Sunday, and made sure that I had clothes that I could go to church with. My duties on the farm was doing, take care of the cattle the first thing in the morning, milk them, then go in and eat. After I had my breakfast, I went out to care of the rest of the animals so that I could get ready and be ready in time to go to school, be there by 9 o'clock. And then in the evening, after I got out of school at 4 o'clock, I had to clean stables, make sure they was clean real good, go out, pull straw out of the stack and carry it in to bed them down, and then make sure they all had the proper feed. And after I had them all taken care of, I milked my cows, got that to take care of the milk, and make sure it was cool and proper and taken care of. Then I had to go in and clean up for supper. That was my routine for the 5 days. And on Saturday, there's fall year, after we got the corn out, I had to hook up the horses, go out and break stubbles so that they could be plowed under so they didn't stick out nowhere. Then in the spring, I had to go out, worked on the fields. Sometimes even after 4 o'clock, I'd go out and work an hour in the field before I done chores. And then after I worked there couple of years, well, I got $1.50 a month there, and after I worked there a couple of years, I was all ready to get out of school. I had 1 year to go yet, so I left there and went back home and started taking care of the fire in the school. I got $5 a month for keeping the fire in school, so I'd get up in the morning early before any of the rest of the kids or teacher was there and make sure the fire was, school was warm. And then Sunday night, I had to go there every Sunday night, build fire, make sure that it was going good, then bank it, come in early Monday morning, make sure that everything was right. And then when all the kids was gone after 4 o'clock, I had to stay, make sure all the children was gone, the teacher was ready to go, so I could bank the fire again. And when it got real cold, I had the key to school. I'd go back at 6 o'clock at night and make sure I had enough fire to hold over the night, so I'd make sure it was warm in the morning. And that was my work when I went to school. Well, I'll tell you how I met my wife, your grandma. Went to school there at the East Dunbar Road then. We moved and went to school at East Dunbar. That's where I met my wife. She was going to school there, so did I. And after I got out of school, I was 20 years old, my wife was 17, and we started going together. And we went together for a while, and we broke up, I don't know why. But then my mother had to have an operation, had goiter, thyroid, and they had to hire a girl, and I don't know why, but this day they hired my wife at that time. So we started back together again. And I went with her for about, well, all together, well, I guess we were together about a year, year and a half. And that's when I married my wife. It was during the time she was at my folks, by what she got done there, I took over and married her. Well, I'll tell you how long ago that is. That is exactly 49 years and 7 months ago.
Grandma, what was your school day like?
Oh, my school day wasn't easy. Day, I wish I would say. I enjoyed school, and I enjoyed the children that we went with. And the only thing I didn't like care about is the winter months. We had to walk from Telegraph Road, I lived, between Telegraph from Dunbar and Alvin Road. And we had to walk down to East Dunbar Road, down past South Dixie Highway. There was two rooms, school. We had classes, part of them in the basement at part-time and part on the first floor. We only had half-a-day sessions. First till the fourth grade went in the afternoon. From the fifth to the eighth grade went in the morning. There were 44 children enrolled in our class. I do not know how many were in the morning session. At that time, the only thing I can also remember is that we had the outside Johns. It was a great experience, but not in the winter months also. Also, there was no running water. We had a big pump in front of the school, which we had to pump the water, take our old tin cup out there, and get our drinking water. After I had left there for 1 year, I attended school there 1 year, then the county built the South Row Townsite School, which at that time were two rooms. The one room, Miss Donahue taught, and was a remarkable person. She taught from the first to the fourth grade, and Miss Kowinski taught from the fifth to the eighth. Their chores were not easy. Miss Donahue lived on Borges Avenue and walked to South Row Townsite. She did not own a car. Miss Kowinski lived on Smith Street. She did not own a car, and she walked. Us children, when we'd come to school, as we would arrive, the first thing we would look is on the big wall was a large register and had a red ribbon. We'd look to see if that was really flying high. Because if that was flying, we knew the furnace had been already started. There was no janitor there at the school. The teachers took care of the lavatories. We had, at that school, we had running water, and we had drinking fountains. There was sure a big change going from the Dunbar school down at East Dunbar. Then I stayed there, the South Row Townsite, and my parents then decided to send us to Trinity. So we walked from Trinity then to Telegraph Road twice a day. We went to Trinity then for 1 year, then went back to South Row Townsite then again. From there, my day started there at Dunbar School with the children that had to walk because there was no bus service at that time, would be coming in from Vineyard Drive, 9th Street, and there on with almost frozen fingers. The teacher would ask the older girls to get a pan of cold water and put the smaller children's fingers in the water because they were frostbitten. At that time, it was not an easy task. The teacher had to have helpers, and it took the older girls and older boys that had a better average than most would help the assistant to the younger children. I sat in these, we used to have double desks. We would go and sit with these younger children and help them with their reading, because that was the biggest task, is the reading part. We stayed there. Then I stayed to South Row Townsite till the 8th grade and graduated just from the 8th grade. Went to Runner High School, took the test, which with great disappointment, the depression came on. I was very sorry to hear when school head was taken up in the fall that I could not be able to attend because there was a tuition. I had a twin sister and a brother also that would be attending high school. There was not enough funds provided in our family. My father was not working at the time. They had WPA, was what they called at that time. And the only way that I could have went to school if I moved in town with one of my relatives. work was down from one company to the other, that they could not take in three children. So none of us was able to attend high school. I have learned a lot in the years. The only regrets that I can give to anyone, take and use everything that you can get from school now, because they can't take it away from you later. Also, as I remember, my home was next to the supervisor of our township. There were several girls in my class, and boys had asked if I would go to his home to get working papers from him, that their families were also unemployed and they had to go seek employment, which they didn't want to do also. They intending to attend high school, in which they couldn't. So I got the working papers for them to have them sign them, that they could go and find employment, which they did. Their work pay at that time was so little. The girls went and did housework for $1.50 a week. They worked 5 and 6 days a week and maybe had the weekends off. The boys, they picked up whatever they could pick up. Some went and had paper routes. Some went on the farms to work. Wherever there was a job available, they picked up. Also, during this depression which we had gone through, the government at that time would allow each family 25 pounds of flour per month. My mother would take and make homemade bread rolls, coffee cakes, and bread, which we would go out and to the neighbors and sell it in order to help supply for money for food for the family. At that time, you could buy milk, 10 cents a quart, eggs, 10 cents a dozen. Then, at that time also, we were very much in need of money at that time. My father could not find no work. There was no work available except for WPA. Then the government come out with that, and he went and worked for WPA, which was of much help to the family. When you think of the times that you have gone through, and think of the times now, where when the children say, I am bored, that there's nothing to do, at that time they should have lived in the other era. Our evenings were spent maybe making fudge. One of the girls from the neighbors would bring a cup of sugar. The other one might bring the cocoa, and we'd make fudge. Then we might make popcorn balls. Then we might end up with a game of cards, or play checkers, or dominoes. In the early part of the evening in the spring, we'd go out and we'd play ball in the stubble field next door to our home. Then, too, if it wasn't that, it would be flying kites. We never said that there was any boredom. In our home, there was no griping what we could do or what could be done. We planned life from day to day and thank God that we had something on the table.
Okay, Grandpa, what kind of jobs did you have?
Well, the first job I had, I worked in a dairy. I worked in a dairy, go in the morning, 2 o'clock, pedal mill to the east end around, and get in about 6, take the truck, go out to farmers and pick up milk, come in, weigh it in, dump it, pasteurize it, and bottle it, and then it was afternoon, and I'd have to wash bottles in the afternoon, get ready for the next day, and then I knew sometimes we didn't even have enough milk to pedal in the morning. Then I'd have to go out in the evening and pick milk up. A lot of days I put in 17 hours. And I worked 7 days a week. I got $7 a week for working. I had to pay $3.50 a week board, but $3.50 at that time was a lot of money for a young man to have. And then I worked there about a year. I left there and went to work for Walter Knapp on the road. My first job was behind for Walter Knapp was behind the cement mixer. There we had to level it off behind the mixer. Then I got a job as finisher on the road after the cement was poured. I worked that way 4 years for old George Moloch. He was my foreman, and I rode back and forth to work with him. We'd get up 5 o'clock in the morning, go out to where the horses was parked, because we didn't have no machinery then, it was all horses. And we'd have to feed the horses, and after I got on the eat, we had to harness them and go to work. And we'd work till 5 o'clock and take the horses back into the barn. You had to, if they was dirty, you had to clean them, and you had to water them and feed them and clean the horses if they was bad. Sometimes it was 6:30, 4 to 7 before you got home. Then Ma had to wait for supper for you. Then you'd have your supper. After supper, we didn't feel like doing much because we had a long day. I made 45 cents an hour then, and I'm telling you, everybody thought we was millionaires because we made 45 cents an hour. We worked 6 days a week, 9 hours a day, so you know we had a pretty good paycheck at that time. And then from there, after I worked there, the depression hit hard. Then I'd go to my dad worked all during depression. We never had to worry about what we had to eat or what we was going to do because dad always had plenty of, he worked at a Consolidated Paper Company. He was working 7 days a week, so we had no worry. Then I used to go with Dad in the morning. We lived on Auburn Road. Now, I used to go with Dad in the morning. I'd go to the north side Consolidated. There's nothing to do there. I'd walk over to the south side. And if there was nothing there, I'd go up, take the railroad track up as far as Telegraph Road, go down Telegraph Road to Dunbar, walk over to Dunbar to Fred Kipp's place, go back through the woods home, which is about 4.5 miles, 5 miles from where I went in with my dad in the morning. I'd do that day in, day out. I finally got a job in there, and I worked there. And after that, I spent 31 years and 22 days in Consolidated before they shut down and I got laid off.
Were there any colored children in school with you?
There was one. His name was Dick Bruder. And he was one of the nicest colored people that I ever met. If everything was as good as he was, this world would be in a good shape today because he never had a bad word for nobody. He always had a smile, and he never bothered nobody. He was a quiet young man, and if everything was like he was, this would be a great, great world today.
Okay. What types of sports did you hear?
When I was 17, we started playing baseball. And my oldest brother, Herb, he was a pitcher. He was real, I have to say, he was real good. Because we played teams in Toledo, Adrian, and all around. And Wish Egan from Detroit, who was a scout, come down twice after him to go up and try out the Tigers. And he always said he didn't want to go. So why, on this day, I'll never know. And because he was, and I know some games, that he struck out as high as 17 batters while he was pitching, and he won a lot of games, 3-0, 2-1, and 3-1 during his career as pitching. He pitched when he was almost 40 years old. After ball season was hunting season. When I went to get up in the morning, we'd get up real early, somewhere around 4 o'clock to go duck hunting, because we had to walk to Erie, and we'd walk from Erie out to Woodpick Point. We had about 3 hours walk. 3 mile walk, and we had carried decoys with us. By the time we get up and get breakfast and walk out there, it was time for shooting. And we'd get done, we'd have to gather up our decoys and ducks. The most ducks I ever got in one day was 12. For some days there was more ducks than you could imagine. There's more ducks then than they are in practically the Monroe County the season. And then after duck hunting, where we used to do a lot of pheasant hunting, rabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, which in that time there was more pheasants than you could really think about because we never had to worry. We'd be out 2-3 hours, come home with our two birds and squirrels. We could go out in anybody's woods them days because you never had to worry about asking a farmer because they trusted each other them days. You could go there and you'd wave at a farmer. He knew who you was because you were neighbors. You'd go in his woods and hunt. He never even grumbled. And in that time, there used to be a lot of hickory nut trees in the woods. And back in Shoes Woods, in one section there was about a half acre with nothing but hickory nut trees. And you could go back there in a half hour's time and get your limit on squirrels, but go home and there's that many back there. Well, today you walk back there, there ain't a tree left or a squirrel. Everything is all deteriorated and died away, or they was cut down for timber, never replaced. So there's a lot of that. All the good hunting, practically them days, is gone today due to tree cutting, and then the farmers put that stuff in the soil to kill the weeds that kill the birds also, and the rabbits. And then we used to have to go, and they were quite infested with foxes. So we used to hunt foxes on Saturday. We'd get a gang anywhere from 40 to 70 guys, and we'd hunt sections. And we got as high, the most we ever got one afternoon was 13 foxes. That's how we was infested with them, to keep them from eating the pheasants and rabbits, so we'd have some for ourselves. And after that, why, then we would be real cold in the wintertime, we'd track them and hunt them, the foxes, to shoot them. And if there was rabbit tracks in there too, we'd had our share of rabbits also.
Grandma, what types of cars did your family own?
My family didn't own a car, but my brother, he had bought a car. Which, one day, I decided, he was sleeping, and I had never driven a car, and I thought, let's try it out. So I said to my twin sister, I said, let's take Vic's car and go for a ride. She said, what do you think he's going to do when he gets up? I said, we'll go. So we got in the car, and first I sat there, and I didn't know what to do, and finally I started shifting it to see which way you go, forward and backwards, and finally I got it to go backwards, and I turned around the neighbor's field. I go across the street and go through Eldrin Fritz's nursery. From Eldrin Fritz's nursery, I go the back, it's along the PM tracks, and then I turn right, and I go down Dunbar Road, go through South Rowe Townside. Then I thought, well, how can I get to my grandmother's without going on a main highway? Because I didn't ever drive before, no driver's license. So I said, let's go through the creek. So Plum Creek was there, so away we go through Plum Creek with this old whippet. We go to my grandmother's house, which lived on 7th Street, so we went through the alley. We drove in the alley, and here comes Grandma. She was working in the garden, and she comes out, and she said, whose car you got? And we said, we got Vic's car. She said, you better get home with it. She knew that we didn't even have driver's license, never had driven before. So we stayed at Grandma's for a bit, so we started for home. So we took the same route, and as we got to Eldrin Fritz's nursery, I said to my sister, my twin sister, I said, how would you like to drive the rest of the way home? I was going to give her a chance to drive. So she, okay, so I gets out, and she gets in, and she starts driving. It surely was an experience. And when we got home, there was my brother standing in the drive. And I'll tell you, he wasn't a bit happy. He was very angry. He grabbed the keys away from us and demanded, we better not ever take that car away again, or there would be something happening to us. But our experience was great, and today it's a big laugh. Then we had another experience with one of his cars. A cousin of mine came to Monroe, and he wanted to go hunting. So my sister-in-law said, well, let's go down and get my husband's car. At that time, he worked to the binder board. So we drove up there, and there was a gentleman standing on the dock, and I said to him, will you tell my brother that we have his car? He said, oh, he said, yeah. He said, I know him real well. I'll tell him. So as we took the car away, little did we know that this fellow was playing a joke on him. He goes ahead, not telling my brother that we had taken his car. And they go home, he comes out looking for his car and reports it to the police as missing. So after he got out, got cooled off because the fellows were, of course, all laughing at him because he was so mad because his car was stolen. Then finally they told him that his sister come and got it. So that was another experience with his car. So I have not ever taken another chance with any of his cars.
Well, what kind of cars did your family own?
Well, in 1919, my dad bought a Model T four-door sedan. And after that, the next car was a 23 Chevrolet touring car. And up till 1928, he had bought three cars from 1919 to 1928, and they was all touring cars. In 1928, he bought a four-door Chevrolet sedan. That was the first closed car he had, and he never did buy another touring car. In my experience, the first car I ever bought, when I was working on water naps on the road, I bought a Model T Ford. I gave $15 for it, and the motor was no good. So Ed Spaulding put a motor in for me for $10. After that, it was working pretty good. Then I got a job in the Consolidated Paper Company. My first car then was a Chevrolet four-door. Then after that, I never bought a new car till 1965 when I bought a Mercury, and that's the first new car I had.
Catherine, now I'll tell you my first experience and how to learn to bake. My mother was in town with her sick mother, taking care of her, and so I decided, why not bake today? I had never baked. And at that time, I was about 13. So I got those old Larkin's cookbook up. And that's an old cookbook. And I thought, well, what should I make? So I first decided to look for cakes. So there was a cake recipe, so I baked the cake. Then I thought, am I allowed bacon? I might bake something else. So then I baked two apple pies. To my amazement, it was real easy. Got the recipe out for the crust, and told how many apples, and I thought, well, that didn't look like enough, so I added a couple more. After I was finished, it looked like a prize. My dad came home, and I said, you take these down to Grandma's and Grandpa's so that the aunts and uncles could enjoy them. To my amazement, after that day, on Saturday, it was our day to bake. My mother and my aunts couldn't believe that we had baked them. Okay. And Catherine, I'll tell you an experience that I had when I was young. I was over at the grocery store, and at the time the neighbors had one of these real old-fashioned, and he had three dials on it, and that water kept radio. And as I was there, they had brought over the forecast that Lindbergh's little boy was kidnapped. So I was going to run home and tell my mother right away of the news. As I was running across the yard, we had a sister just at the back door. And my foot hit the board on the cistern, in which the cistern was full of water. The board flew up, and I flew in. I went down twice. By the time my mother heard me yell the first time, she opened the door and she caught me. And I'll tell you, it was really a tiring experience. Also, Catherine, with the same cistern that we had in front of the bank door, my twin sister had a trying experience. She had been huckleberry, and they had come home, and she was eating a pear. And as she was eating the pear, all of a sudden, a swarm of yellow jackets came, and she had gotten 65 stings on her face and her neck. The neighbor came running over quickly, and she told there was a pile of clay that was still there where this cistern had been dug, and they applied this wet clay on my sister's body, and as that clay was put onto her face, the swelling started to eliminate. So it was a good experience for her that I think it helped save the bee stings. Well, this, that's what they said it did.
Okay. So, well, thanks a lot for helping me with this interview for my history project. I really appreciate it.